Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's lift up our hands and praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Ah, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You are the risen King. Death could not hold you down. The grave could not hold you down either. And because you live, we live also. Glory to God. Somebody shout hallelujah here this morning. Oh, come on now. Let's shout hallelujah. Let's shout hallelujah. Let's shout hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Put your hands together for the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We can do better than that. Let's put our hands together for the Lord. He came out of the grave. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Thank you, praise team. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Good morning, everyone. Praise the Lord. Today is Resurrection Sunday, so we're happy to rejoice in the power of His resurrection. I'm going to share something along those lines today. Praise the Lord. I'm going to pray and get into the message. Hallelujah. You may be seated while we pray. Just focus on the Lord. Father, we love you this morning and we thank you. Thank you for this marvelous remembrance, you know, that we have of the work that you did. Great. In our mind. Every day we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we give you the praise and glory for such a time and such a day. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We declare, Lord, that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Even so, let it be this morning in Jesus' name. And somebody says, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Today, I want to speak on the riches of the glory of Christ's resurrection. The riches of the glory of Christ's resurrection. Right away, we see there are some key words in that message title. We have riches, we have glory, we have Christ, and we have resurrection. So, the glory of His resurrection. The riches that came because of that. That's what we want to talk about for just a little bit today. Now, I don't think there's hardly anyone in this place today that does not know the story of the resurrection. The story of how Christ went to the cross, died, and rose again the third day. But just in case you don't know, or somebody listening in doesn't know, Jesus Christ came into this world to die for our sins, among many things. And he did die, and he said before he went to the cross, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. And he did. Came out of that grave after 3 days. Praise the Lord. And today we want to look at why that matters to us. I mean, why does the resurrection of Christ, which happened 2,000 years or more ago, why does it matter to us today? And what does it really bring for us? Praise the Lord. Yeah. Now, one thing we know is that it is for sure, for certain, that Christ came out of that grave. We know that one. He's no longer in the grave, folks. You know, the scripture even says in Romans chapter 10, the word of God is in your mouth. You don't need to go look for Christ in the grave because he's not there. You don't need to go to heaven. It's in your mouth. You know, so we know he is not in the grave. As the story went, some of the company of the disciples, especially some women, They actually went there first to look. They didn't find him. And they had an encounter, an angel that told them his reason. Christ even appeared to one of them. They went and told the disciples, and we know his reason. And later on, some of the apostles would write some things to us about this resurrection for us to understand why it is important. Paul took a great deal of time in 1 Corinthians 15 writing to us about the resurrection, proving that, in fact, without the resurrection of Christ, our faith would be in vain. And he made a lot of arguments there and so on and so forth. Now, we see also, you know, how, you know, he wrote in the book of Romans, you know, chapter 6, he wrote about, you know, how Christ was risen from the dead so that we ourselves, you know, should live in newness of life. He says, if we believe, you know, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. Now that's Romans chapter 6 and verse 9. And it tells us that we should reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. One of the things that Jesus did for us is to break the power of that sin nature over us. Break that power so that we can come in newness of life. Now, after his resurrection, Jesus made certain claims, and the apostles wrote certain things by the Holy Spirit to us. Let's look at some of the claims that Jesus made. In the book of Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 to 20, Jesus made some powerful declarations. You know, starting, let's start at verse 18. You know, let's start at verse 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Praise the Lord. There's no other place. And based on that power, he, you know, engaged or empowered the disciples the same way. And every one of us. And he said, because all power, now that's what therefore means. Therefore is a conjunction of what I'm about to say now, based on what I just said. You know, so because all power is given unto me, therefore go ye to all nations, you know, on that power and do what the mission that he gave us. But he makes a claim to all power and authority. It's actually like a vindication, if you will, because, you know, the fact that, you know, God raised him from the dead and he rose from that dead shows that the sacrifice that he made for us was actually accepted. Because Paul argued that if Christ didn't rise from the dead, then our sins are still in vain. When he rose from the dead, though, you know, he also ascended up and sat at the right hand of power, forever making intercessions for us. In Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25, we read that, you know, we are not just following a somebody that, you know, has no power, nothing he can do for us. No, he is able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for us. So the power, the intercessory power that Jesus now has, you know, because he was found of God to be faithful in everything, now he is over the household of God before the Father as high priest of our profession, making intercession for us. He has given us the gift of a new life. I want to read 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's read the first few verses, maybe verses 1 to 3. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers that are scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, and so forth. Now, elect, listen to this. Elect, that is chosen, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Next verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's right. The reason we have any hope right here is because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, so there is the gift of life, and there is a gift of hope, you know, and there is an inheritance to look forward to. He has given us the promise of an inheritance that is incorruptible, you know, undefiled, and which will never fade away, that is reserved in heaven for you. Amen. And all of this because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why he said in verse 3 that these things came to us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This is why we have these things. And not only do we know what he did, we know that we also receive the power of resurrection in our lives. Because 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 20 says that Christ is the first fruits of that resurrection. Praise the Lord. You know, now Christ is risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Well, not the only, but first. That means there are many that are coming. You know, the first fruits, what Jesus had, the power that he received from the Father to be raised, you know, from the dead like that, you know, that same power is given to us. Jesus would say to Martha at the grave of Lazarus, saying, having a conversation with her in John 11, verses 25, and all these other verses, was saying that, look, do you believe this? You know, do you believe it? I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth shall never die. And he said, do you believe this? Do you believe this? That Jesus is the resurrection? Not just that we have the hope of resurrection, but he is the very resurrection itself. In other words, if you are in Christ and Christ is the resurrection, just like Christ could not, you know, the psalmist said, thou will not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thy holy one to see corruption. Psalm 16. Well, if he said that about Christ and we are in him and he said that he is the resurrection, then we know also that we are coming out of there. Praise the Lord. You know, we are either going to be raised up. Jesus said in John chapter 7 verse 37. Chapter 6. He said, you know, in verses 37, 38, and 39. He said, you know, all that the Father has given me shall come to me. And he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Hallelujah. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I should lose nothing. Hallelujah. But I should raise it up again at the last day. And he's going to raise it up, whether out of the grave or from the ground. Hallelujah. If you are still alive and remaining in the faith, by the time Christ comes, raise you up from the ground. If somebody, those who have died and gone, he raised them out of the grave. One way or another, I will lose none of them. That's what he said. I will raise him up at the last day. Praise God. So once you have put your faith in Christ, and you are now walking in this spirit, putting away the old man, walking in newness of life, just like Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24 tells us, that we are now created, you know, we're like a new creation in Christ. Just, you know, we're like new creation. We put away previous verses, we put away the old man. See, you look at verse 23 of this, we've put away the old man with his own lust. Give me Ephesians 4, 22, yeah. We've put away former conversation, the old man and all these things and so forth. And now we have put on Christ. Hallelujah. You put on the new man in Christ. And this new man is created, you know, in righteousness and true holiness. This new man. These are the things that the resurrection of Jesus bought for us. As it is written in Romans chapter 4, verse 25, you know, because of his death, you know, we were acquitted from our offenses, but it is his resurrection that actually guarantees it. He was delivered for our offenses, and he was raised again for our justification. The abundant riches that we have in Christ to come into the same glory that he came into were given to us even before the world began. In Romans chapter 8, verse 29, we're told that God preordained, he predetermined that those whom he foreknew will be like the Christ. He said, for those whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Christ. And we have, if Christ was still in the grave, we couldn't lay claim to these things. But because God brought him out of that grave with power, we now can say that Jesus is first fruits, not only, but firstborn, and the rest of us will be conformed to his image. So as he is, so are we in this world. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17. Now, these are the riches that God, gave to us through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Which resurrection that we are talking about today, all across the world, people are talking about this to say that, well, you know, Christ is risen from the dead. And we also, you know, we have this hope in ourselves that as Christ was risen from the dead, so also, he said, together with my dead body, you shall live. As he was raised from the dead, there is also hope for us that we shall be raised from the dead. There is greatness of God's power that he has promised us through the quickening of the Holy Spirit. In the book of Romans chapter 8 verse 11, we are told, he says, you know, if the spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell inside of you, then he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. That's another one of the riches of what we got by his resurrection. The argument here is that the same power that raised him up, which came from the Spirit of God and the glory of the Father to raise him up. Well, if that same Spirit dwells in you, well, there's also a resurrection that we can experience in our daily lives. There is a quickening that we can experience. Quickening of our mortal
bodies
by the same spirit that dwelleth in us. There is, we are also called to the riches of his glory. Or in other places, it's called the inheritance of the saints. You know, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, he calls it the inheritance of the saints. It's the, I mean, just think of this. The value that God places on us who have now received the grace of God through the redemptive work that Christ did. Look at the value. Now, Paul is praying here that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened so that you can know not only the hope of his calling, but also the riches of the glory of his inheritance, which came to us by his resurrection. We could not have gotten any of this if he was still in the grave. In fact, there's a story in Revelation chapter 11 where there was an announcement made, who is worthy to take the book, open it, to lose the seals thereof. And there was silence. You know, everybody was looking around to see if somebody could step up and take the book. There was nobody. And John began to cry. He cried a lot, actually, because he knew that that book represented something. He was intrigued. I mean, why would that book be sealed with seven seals? I mean, God can put one seal on something and that's it. Keeps everybody out. Why put seven seals on it? Something intriguing about that book. And finally, someone said, "Weep no more, John. We have found the victor. We have found the conqueror. We have found the one that has prevailed. Christ," said, "has prevailed." And when he stepped out, how did he prevail? By being slain. Because he said, "The lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed." And so John was looking for a lion that would come out of, you know, jungle like that. You know how lions, when they go like that, I mean, they're kind of walking as if they own the whole place. you know, you're walking like that. So, but no, he turned around. I saw a lamb being slain. Bloody lamb. That's how he prevailed. And when he got up, he stepped up and took that book. The riches of the glory of his inheritance are contained in that book. That title deed for the whole earth is contained inside that book. Your name is in that book if you give your life to Christ. Hallelujah. Yes, it's called the book of life. It has many portions, has many things in it, and many chapters. But, you know, we get it because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because his disciples are going to come and steal him from the grave and claim that he resurrected. So put as rocks, stones, everything, and set guard. Watches, first watch, second watch. Set them around to make sure none of his disciples come here and tell us that he rose from the grave while they stole his body. You know, Jesus doesn't need anybody to come and steal his body. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I'm coming out of there. Hallelujah. Yeah. And he came out of there. He came out of there by the power and the glory of God. He was raised by the glory of the Father. And the glory, that same glory, is what we have with us today. To come upon us, you know, in the understanding of the power of the resurrection. If you understand it, then we also have victory. Hallelujah. Victory in Christ. You know, number one, over the sin nature. You know, now, they come in to church. Some people will come to church on Resurrection Sunday, so that is, you know, it's good for you to hear a message like this. Some people, that's the only time they go to church. Or, you know, you feel a little bit religious. Oh, Jesus did it, Jesus did that. Well, it's not about that. It's about you experiencing this for yourself. You experience the power of his resurrection, you know, in the new birth. You become a new creature. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. And God guarantees it because of the resurrection of Christ. And all these things, you know, that we have read in the scriptures and alluded to, these things come to us because of the resurrection of Christ. Ha. And now, where is Christ? We are told that he's seated at the right hand of power, making intercession for us, from thenceforth expecting unto all his enemies. And a lot of Christ has a lot of enemies. In fact, there are many enemies today rising up. They say, we will destroy anybody that goes to church. We're going to kill them. If you are associated with the name of Christ, they want to kill you. Well, those are enemies of Christ. All the things that Christ defeated at the cross, you know, all the grief, all the sickness, all the sin and everything, they are still enemies. The last of those enemies is death. It will be finally put away. You know, Jesus has already abolished death. We know that. But yet, death is still working in our bodies. Although, we know that though this outward man perish, inside of us, there is the quickening of the Holy Spirit. But death is still working. You know, people are dying slowly. You know, they are dying slowly. You know, in the olden days, they used to live for 600, 500, 300, even 969 years. One person lived that. Today, now. You know, people are dying slowly. But Jesus already abolished death. You know, he abolished the power of death over us. Once you come into Christ, you are born again by the Spirit of God, you die no more. You die no more. In fact, as far as Jesus is concerned, you die no more. When Lazarus was dead, Jesus said, our friend Lazarus is sleeping. He said, well, if he's sleeping, everything will be fine. He'll wake up. Well, so Jesus had to speak their language. Lazarus is dead. Jesus didn't think it was death. He called it sleep. Hallelujah. So those that sleep in Christ, Christ will bring again. Say, I will lose none of them. And because we have seen and the power of his resurrection time after time after time, when God creates a new being in somebody, when a person steps up and puts their faith in Jesus Christ and they experience this new birth, it's a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. You know, when you come to Christ, you're a new creation. You're created anew. Glory to God. When salvation occurs in the life of a person, you know, people don't really know what salvation means. Well, yeah. But, you know, it's simply you putting your faith in Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins and receiving the power of the Spirit of God to transform your life from the old nature that we inherited from Adam into the new one that the Holy Spirit gives. It's a powerful, powerful act of creation. It takes heaven and earth to work together to make it to happen. In a book of Isaiah 45 verses 8, he says that the heaven and the earth work together to bring forth salvation. That's heaven is there. Holy Spirit is there. We also are here telling people about it. We come together. That's how the people get saved. Drop down, ye heavens, from above. And let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open up. And let them together, heaven and earth, bring forth salvation. And let righteousness spring forth in the earth together. I, the Lord, have created it. So every time there is salvation, is creation. God is creating salvation in the lives of people because he's creating them as new creatures again. Now, if you want to experience that new creature experience, well, what a wonderful time on the day that we are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, you don't have to jump over any pews, you know, but you do have to put your faith in Jesus Christ. You know, that's simple. And if you don't, you hear this message and you continue to harden your heart, someday it'll be too late. But right now, it's not too late. Today is the day of salvation. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Now, if you are here today, you say, well, I've been coming to church. It doesn't matter. People have been going to church. You know, some people, I'm not talking about our church now necessarily, so don't think about them. But I'm saying that people may even be singing in the choir. Some people may even be holding the mic like I'm holding now. But if they have not experienced that true birth, newborn experience, one day Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 and verses 21 and 22, he said, not everyone that is calling me Lord. And say, why do you call me Lord if you don't do what I say? Not everyone that calls me Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that does the will of my Father. Well, the son will come to me on that day and say, was I not singing in the choir? Did I not come to church every day? Oh, those are even small things. Look at what these things people did. Did we not prophesy in that name? My goodness. Did we not even cast out devils? Did we not even do many wonderful works? You know, so that's not it. The Lord said, well, I will profess unto them, I don't know you. You were never a part of me, because the only way to be a part of him is to receive this experience of new birth. That's it. You may do all these wonderful works. You may preach, you may sing in the choir, you may come to church, but until you experience the new birth, you cannot be a part of him. And what's the name of the man in John chapter 3? Nicodemus. Nicodemus said, what do you mean? Am I as a grown man going to enter into my mother's womb and be born again the second time? And Jesus said, well, are you a spirit? No, not spiritual. Are you a religious leader? A leader in Israel? And you don't know these things? Well, I tell you what. He said, if you are born, when you are born in the flesh, you are flesh. Now, when you are born in the spirit, you are spirit. And God is spirit. His children are spirit. Your brethren are spirit. That's right. We are come unto a gathering of spirits, according to Hebrews chapter 12. You know, a gathering of the spirits of just men that have been made perfect before the Lord. Your brethren are spirits. Your father is spirit. You are spirit. What are you doing walking in the flesh for? That's the question today. I want to leave you with that. Your father is spirit. John chapter 4, verse 24. God is spirit. You are spirit when you are born again. Your brethren that are gone before you are spirit. What are you doing walking in the flesh for? So it is time to awake to righteousness. Praise the Lord. Now, if you want to take a bold step of faith, whether you are here in the church today or listening, however, you can listen to this later on. It's the same thing, you know. And if you are present here, let me tell you something else. If you are present here today, you don't take advantage of this, but you know that you needed it, then your presence here did not profit you anything. Because Jesus said in John 6 and 63, he said, the flesh profits nothing. The flesh. I was there. That doesn't profit you anything. That's in the flesh. But did you engage in the spirit? The only thing that's going to profit you is Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. So, even if you are not here in the flesh, you can receive profiting from this message if you engage the Spirit of God wherever you are. All you got to do is engage. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask that we stand to our feet and I am going to pray. And after this, I'll change the order of service and then I will do the breaking of bread quickly. So after I pray, right now, I want us to stand to our feet. Let's pray. Let's stand to our feet. Let's recognize and honor the work that Christ did for us. Praise God. Now, if anybody is here physically and you are not sure that you have experienced this new birth. Now, if you are in Christ, you are a new creature. The Spirit of God will bear witness within you. No woman can give birth to somebody and say, I don't know if I gave birth. You know, she knows. Because I guarantee you, she went through a lot of stuff. You know, so it's an experience. If you don't know that you have been born again, maybe you have not been born again. Maybe that's why you don't know. But sometimes people need a little coaching because they think, oh, you know, I got to do this, I got to do that. No. It's very simple. You must put your faith in what Christ did. You can't do it any other way. The only credentials you will have to show before the Father is, did you put your faith in Christ for what he did? If you say, well, I went to church, I did this, and I did that, Jesus said, it doesn't matter. But did you receive the new birth experience? If you are here today and you want to receive that new birth experience, it's called to be born again. It's actually a degree. You can get a BA degree today, born again. You can get a BA degree today. Hallelujah. If you want to get that BA degree today, take a bold step of faith and come out here and say, I want to be counted for Jesus. I want that BA degree. Now, if you are listening online, it's the same thing too. Take a bold step, and I'm going to ask you to pray with me. Glory to God. Father, I pray here today, as we have received, as we have given the word of God, that it will be received on good soil. The seed that the sower sowed was the same seed, but it produced different effect depending on the ground on which it fell. But it was the same seed. The seed that you have received today, may it fall on good ground in Jesus' name. That it will produce great things in your life, the greatest of which is this great creation that the Lord said, I, the Lord, have created it. When you receive salvation, it's a new creation. You are a new creation, and the Lord said, I'm the one that's doing it. Now, if that's you today, I want you to come. And if you are there online also, usually people don't come out, you know, when you give altar call in church. But everybody say, well, if I came out, they'd be looking at me. Say, you've been going to church. Why are you just now coming out? Well, they will not be looking at you when you stand before the Lord forever in eternity. Every man will stand for himself. It's not your brother or your sister looking at you or whatever. So you've got to make that decision on your own. So Father, I thank you for everybody. Now, if you are out there somewhere or you are here, don't be ashamed for the Lord. I want you to say, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. There may be areas where you are still struggling. The Lord will help you. And if you don't let the Lord help you, when you stand before him, the Lord is going to say, why didn't you let me help you with that? That's what he's going to say. Why didn't you let me help you with that? You know, because he said light came into the world, but people chose darkness. I pray that you receive help from the Lord today in Jesus' name. Say with me, the Lord is good, and his mercy endureth forever. I believe that Jesus came into this world. He died, was in the grave for 3 days, and he rose again by the glory of God. And I am risen with him. I receive him as my Savior forever. Give me the power to walk in the light and no more in the flesh. In Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Now let's be seated. You know, for those that give their life to Christ by prayers such as this, well, you've got to receive instruction in righteousness. Make sure you follow on to know the Lord by making sure you find yourself a good Bible teaching church, just like this. You know, and if wherever you are, find yourself one. Praise the Lord. Today, I'm going to go through quickly this breaking of bread. Are you guys getting that for me? Now, this one of the things that Jesus said was, he said, do this before he went to the cross. At the Last Supper, when they were eating, he said, do this in remembrance of me. And the Lord gave Paul many instructions. He said, well, the Lord gave me these things. Paul wasn't there with them, but he said in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23, said, I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you. He wasn't there, but the Lord gave it to him. He said, the same night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. That's right. And when he broke the bread, he later would tell his disciples as part of that whole thing that they were doing that night. He said, look, do this in remembrance of me. For as often as you break this bread, eat of it, and drink of the cup, you are showing not only the Lord's death, but also his resurrection. Because if he died and didn't come out of that grave, then our faith is in vain. So today, I'm still waiting. Are they getting this stuff? Brother Johnson, Brother Victor? Okay. Because we need to move quickly. We are going to break bread. While they are preparing it, I want you to think about it. Will you be identified with Christ? Paul said, he called it the fellowship of his sufferings in Philippians chapter 3 verse 10. This is one of the things that breaking bread should remind us of. You know, every time you do this, you remember what Christ did for us. This should remind us of the sufferings of Christ. And we ourselves must be identified with the same. There were some trays that he should have brought. Got to go back and get those trays and put those down here. We're going to use those trays to serve. There are two trays there where this was in my office. Yeah. And leave a cup here. You can come and help us. Yeah. You can. Well, we can pass out the cup while they are doing that. Yeah, you can. Somebody, one of you can start passing out the cups. Cups. Yeah. Hold on until you get the gloves. Just hold on. Okay. So, while they are doing that, I want you to think on this. That's it right there. Johnson, he's bringing it already. Okay, thank you. All right, so while they are doing that, think of this to be identified with Christ. Thank you, brother. I'll put them up here. Praise the Lord. Every time that... Oh, this is what they went to look for. You know, every time... Thank you. Every time that we break bread, remember the fellowship of his sufferings. All the lashes that he received on his back. And the crown of thorns they put on his head. They spit on his face. They called him, you know, a whoremonger. They called him someone that casts out devils by devil. I mean, they even ridiculed him with so many ways. He did all of that for us. But when we break bread, think of the sufferings of Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, we also, Jesus said to the disciples, come on down, please. Come on down. Paul, Johnson, come. Jesus said to his disciples, a couple of disciples in Luke 24, He said to them, you can distribute the cups. Distribute the cup. Everybody get some cups. We're going to try to make this quick. He said, ought not Christ to have suffered all these things in order to enter into his glory? That's the way we get into. Sometimes the suffering is ridicule. Just like they ridiculed Christ. Some of you young people, they may ridicule you, you know, because you are not following their ways. But that's part of the sufferings for Christ. Praise the Lord. I want us to take a few minutes and just pray. Johnson, take a few minutes and consecrate yourself. If you have unforgiveness in your heart or any such thing, you need to pray right now. Has everybody gotten their cups? But we are going to do this in a few minutes. All right, while they are getting that, let's get ready. What we will be doing is, once we are ready, we will divide the bread and give it out. We will also bless the cup and pass out for everybody. You know, after you receive of the bread, you will receive of the cup as well. The bread, the communion of the body of Christ, the bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Communion is fellowship. Fellowship of his sufferings. You know, you cannot partake of this and not be ready to suffer for Christ. It doesn't work that way. You know, we must suffer for his name. And then in addition to that, the blood of Jesus represented in the fruit of the Jews that we will take, it is also for our cleansing and for our protection. God told Moses, let them put the blood on the doorposts, and everyone that comes in under a door that has the blood on it, they will be saved from the destroyer. Right now, we are going to break bread. Scripture says, do not eat of this unworthily. That means because you are not discerning what the body of the Lord is for, and I've explained it. But let everyone examine themselves, and therefore let them eat. Also, if you have aught against any, or any form of bitterness against any in your heart, we also, now is the time, forgive. We are commanded to forgive one another, even as God in Christ Jesus has forgiven you. So we have the bread. It's unleavened bread. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7, say we are one lump and we are unleavened, and we should purge out the old leaven. Father, we thank you for what Jesus did. And as we receive of this bread, we receive healing into our bodies. We align ourselves with the fellowship of Christ's sufferings. We pledge allegiance. You got to pledge that allegiance. The fellowship of his sufferings. I am going all the way by the grace of God. Whatever it takes, don't even try to stop me. I'm going all the way. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.